You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Victor Thorne, the author of America's Racial Powder Keg, How a Violent Dependency State Has Been Created Within the Black Community. Victor, thanks for joining us again.
Hi, it's great to be here, Dave.
Victor, you've written, I think now, over 50 books and chapbooks, is that right?
Correct.
That's all? Okay, I'm still trying to get my first great American novel out. This latest book that you put out, America's Racial Powder Keg, How a Violent Dependency State Has Been Created Within the Black Community, that's doing pretty well out there, isn't it?
From what I understand, all the AFP books that have come out this year, it's by far doing the best. The book itself is prophetic in that almost on a daily basis now, you see everything that's written in this book coming true before our very eyes. And of course, the latest thing was this nonsense that's transpiring in South Carolina, where in essence, Orwell's memory hole is coming to life before our very eyes in that blacks and liberals, whatever history they don't agree with, they've now determined that it's going to be washed down the memory hole. And if this isn't a totalitarian mindset and so anti-freedom, that it's unbelievable. I mean, even the Dukes of Hazzard, that TV show from the 1980s, Warner Brothers has said that they're going to no longer sell Dukes of Hazzard products because the General Lee, the orange car, has a rebel flag on its roof. So this is reaching the point of insanity. I mean, is the White House going to be changed names now? I mean, like, think of Barack Obama. He can come out and say he's embarrassed to be living in the White House because look at all those white men that owned slaves or were racists that live there, and it's painted white. So are we going to have to paint it beige colored or brown colored or something and call it the Brown House? I mean, at what ridiculous point does the entire country stand up and say we can't take this anymore? So everything in America's Racial Powder Keg that yourself, me, Pete Papaheracles, John Friend, that we predicted and wrote about, it's coming true even beyond our wildest expectations, I think.
Yeah, you know, the reason we're doing this interview is because of exactly what you're talking about, that these events that have unfolded over the past week or so have been so ridiculous and so obscene. And it's such a broad rewriting of American history that you wonder, how is it happening? Who's doing it behind the scenes? How is it that there are no real Americans who are standing up and say, wait a second here, slow down. All right, the Confederate flag is a part of American history. You cannot just wipe out something like that, making it akin to what they did to the swastika. So what it seems like is going on is you're going, well, you know what? This is so horrible, this Confederate flag. Rip them all down. Ban them. We never want to see them again. And unless I'm wrong, Victor, is anybody saying anything about this except for us right now?
You have to look at it from two different levels. Obviously, Fox News will be the ones who push back the most, but they have to tiptoe around this issue. They have to walk on eggshells, and they can't speak out in terms that we're able to. I mean, they would never carry a book called America's Racial Powder Keg or speak about it on air because it's too politically incorrect. So Fox News will push the most, but only within certain parameters. They're not going to address the real issue. And I mean, it was Confucius that said signs and symbols rule the world, not words or laws. Well, the people that are trying to eradicate the Confederate flag, it reminds me almost of like an abortion. You know, most women have an abortion because it's a nuisance. The baby inside their womb is a nuisance. Well, this history of the South, they consider to be a nuisance. So they're basically just doing an abortion on the Confederate flag. They're dismissing it and ripping it down and throwing it through Orwell's memory hole. Well, the only way that symbols can be taken away from us is if we allow it to be. And here's a good example. I only own one t-shirt with a rebel flag on it. And on Wednesday, after all this stuff came out, I dragged that shirt out of the drawer and put it on and wore it everywhere I went. But that's only one t-shirt. So I thought, well, I want to wear a shirt more often than that. So I went on the internet and ordered four more t-shirts with rebel flags on them. So now I have five of them, different colors, different designs, and so forth. So everybody listening to this interview right now should ask themselves, do we want them to take our symbols away from us, or do we want to stand up to them? So everybody out there should go and buy these types of shirts. The other thing, Dave, is you have to ask an even more important question, is if the Confederate flag is exhibit number A to be destroyed, what's next? How about 9/11 Truth? How about books like 9/11 Evil, 9/11 Made in Israel? How about the Holocaust and asking questions about that? How about books like The Holocaust Hoax Exposed? I guarantee you, now that Walmart and Target and eBay and Amazon have taken down all products with Confederate flags on them, I guarantee you that there's more to follow. So just like with Mike Piper died about 4 or 6 weeks ago, and now everybody's scrambling to get his books. Well, you know, most of his books are out of print or not available, and they can't find them anymore. What's going to happen when books about 9/11 Truth, Holocaust Revisionism, the Oklahoma City bombing, on and on and on? What happens when those products are no longer available? You know, we have to go out right now and show that we're going to support wearing a rebel flag on our T-shirt or buying these books or whatever, because if we roll over and play dead like everybody else is doing, then there is no fight left. They've won the battle. And my symbolic gesture was I went on the internet and bought 4 more T-shirts with rebel flags on them, and I'm going to wear them everywhere I go to show to people that, hey, look, I'm standing up. I'm not going to be a little pussy that rolls over, because that's what they want us. And, you know, when you asked earlier, where did this all come from? I can tell you, Dave, I've analyzed this, and, you know, I'm not talking about going back to the 1960s or anything like that. I'm talking about recent history. When did this vendetta against America's heritage and customs and traditions start? Well, 20 years ago, Barack Obama sat in the pew of a guy named Reverend Jeremiah Wright. He's a guy that said, "God damn America." Well, Reverend Wright's mentor was a guy named James Cone, and all of this information is contained in my book, Frontman, which is available through AFP. And James Cone, he started something called Black Liberation Theology, where basically they said the only gods they'll recognize are black gods, and that any other gods should be killed. And James Cone also, when I was writing an article for American Free Press next week, I interviewed a man who quoted Cone, and he said, here's his quote from one of James Cone's books: "What we need is a destruction of whiteness, which is the source of human misery in the world." That's the crux. The crux of what you're seeing today, Dave, is found in those words of James Cone, which was passed along to his disciple, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who then gave them to Barack Obama. Obama called Reverend Wright his spiritual advisor. Now, in 2007, I uncovered all this material, started publishing in articles in AFP, and was screaming for people not to vote for Obama. I said, "Don't you realize what we're getting here? This is destruction. This guy hates white people. He despises white people." Well, not enough people listened. And not only was he elected, but reelected. And now, with Obama only having 1.5 years left in his second term, you know, he's putting the pedal to the metal right now and pushing it into overdrive and saying, "I'm going to do everything humanly possible within this last 1.5 years to finish his agenda." So if people think, "Oh, well, this Confederate flag, that's going to be the end of it," they're in for a rude awakening, because this is only the beginning.
Yeah, I think you're right. And that's actually what precipitated me to call you yesterday, is to discuss doing an interview about this, because I was so disgusted. I still am, not as bad as I was yesterday, but when I saw this happening. And it's not that I'm a huge fan of the Confederacy or a huge fan of the South. I don't really know much about the Civil War, like there are some Civil War buffs out there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand what is happening here. One of the first things I thought about was that, Victor, you and I have known each other for about 6 years, and this Obama has been in office since, what, 2009. So we've known each other around that time. We met, I think, in 2010, the beginning of 2010. But I know that from reading your books and from speaking with you, that you called this. You called exactly what's happening, that this guy, his mission is to destroy the traditions that made this country what it was. For somebody to be able to predict that is, in my book, is pretty huge. Besides this preacher, Wright, besides that, what other things led you to the prediction that Obama would literally, his mission was to destroy what America was for 200 years? And by the way, I think that what we saw happen here with this whole Confederate flag nonsense, I believe that this is probably, because I don't see anybody standing up here, I see a bunch of white fools holding up posters, this is probably the end of the constitutional republic experiment. So really, there's two things that I'd like you to address. Do you agree that at the end of this experiment, and what was it besides Reverend Wright that brought you to the conclusion that Obama's ultimate goal was to destroy America, which I think is done?
Yeah, you're not the only one saying that. There's quite a number of people, even today, you know, the Supreme Court ruling that, you know, backed again Obamacare, even though it's completely written in it that it was unconstitutional. Well, the Constitution literally doesn't matter anymore. So yeah, you're right. And it's so blatantly apparent now that you'd have to be blind not to see it. Now, when it comes to Obama, the other things I did, and I first became aware of Obama in 2004 when he gave the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention when John Kerry was nominated for president. So he gave the keynote address, and whoever does that, they're always on the fast track to be on the rise. So I was like, boy, I never heard of this guy with the funny name before, but he's somebody. So I started paying attention. Then when he announced that he was going to run for president in 2007, I said, well, I got to start doing some research. So I got his book, Dreams from My Father, where in this book, he has a white mother, and he says when he was around 12 years old, he basically renounced all of his whiteness, that even though he's half and half, the white half was discarded. He no longer wanted anything to do with that. And I said, well, that's a little bit peculiar. Then there's this character named Frank Marshall Davis, who a lot of people, including myself, think could actually be Obama's real father. And Frank Marshall Davis was a total white hater and a diehard communist. Then there's Bill Ayers, his Weather Underground buddy, who again hates white people. And I just saw him speak up here at Penn State a few months ago. And this guy's a literal domestic terrorist. Obama gave his first speech ever, political fundraising speech, in Bill Ayers' house. So these are just three examples right there, and I did what the mainstream media didn't do. I actually investigated Barack Obama's past and dug up everything I could, and every page I read and every new document that I uncovered, I said, this guy is not only bad, this guy is dangerous. This guy is very dangerous to the future of this country. And finally then, 5 days before the 2008 presidential election, Obama's given this big speech, and he declares it's one of the most dangerous phrases ever uttered by a political candidate. He said that he wants to fundamentally transform America. Now, people still had 5 days until the election. Don't those words have an impact? Fundamentally, he didn't say, like, I want to change a little bit or, you know, a little here, fundamentally transform America. Well, what does that mean? Let's go over a few things here. There's now black people calling for the banishment of the Jefferson Memorial. Thomas Jefferson, a white president, legally owned slaves. They want to banish the Jefferson Memorial. In New Orleans, the Democratic mayor, this guy named Mitch Landrieu, wants to take down a statue of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee. The guy from the new Black Panther Party, Malik Zulu Shabazz. We've talked about him before and written about him in AFP.
Nice name.
Here's what he just said recently. Finish the mission. Kill slave masters. There's some peace and love for you, huh? Now we have the Nation of Islam's Louis Farrakhan. He gave a speech a few days ago, and he says, we need to put down the American flag. So, Dave, it's not only the Confederate flag. They want to get rid of the American flag, too.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought was next, the American flag. And they'll do it, Victor.
That's going to be in the crosshairs next. So, you know, what else? The $10 bill, they're taking, I believe, who is it, Hamilton,
yep,
off of it, who wasn't a great guy anyway. But next year, they're taking Hamilton's face off, and they're going to put a woman's picture on it. Who's it going to be? Most people are saying Rosa Parks. Boy, there's a great political mind for you, right? Yeah, what she did, she got on a bus and didn't sit in the back. And that merits her face on our currency? What are they going to do next? Take George Washington's face off and put Malcolm X on it or something?
Yes, they are. They actually are. They are rewriting the history of America, and nobody that I could see is standing up about it. Victor, you pay attention to what a lot of people call the alternative media. Recently, I took to calling what most people call the mainstream media the elite media, and what most people call the alternative media the mainstream media, because there's more people involved in our media than there is in that elite media. But you pay attention to the mainstream media, to us, the alternative media. Is anybody talking about it? Is Alex Jones talking about what's actually happening here? Do you think maybe people can't really grasp what's occurring? Is it happening too fast for them to analyze it?
Well, I know who is paying attention to it. And, you know, for my articles next week for American Free Press, I interviewed a couple of Tea Party members. And, you know, I've probably interviewed close to 100 different Tea Party members since 2009. And they're paying attention to it, for sure. These people know what's going on. They're not happy about it in the least. I do check a lot of the alternative news sites, and if it is mentioned, again, it's in very mamby-pamby terms, because you got to remember, Dave, a vast percentage of the alternative media is very liberal-oriented. Okay? It's much more liberal-oriented than it is conservative. So a lot of people in the alternative media actually support this because they're like, well, you know, we can't have any quote-unquote racism and we're all created equal. So a lot of the alternative media mirrors the liberal mainstream media, which is completely disheartening. Or, you know, I won't mention names, but there's other alternative sites that don't mention this at all. None whatsoever. Alex Jones, I don't go to his website ever. I have no idea what he's doing. But again, American Free Press for the last 3 or 4 years now has not shied away from this issue at all. And we're the ones posting the real articles. We're the ones publishing books like America's Racial Powder Keg. We're the ones doing interviews like this. Alex Jones isn't calling up people like me and talking as openly and freely about this. I hear this all the time, Dave. Black Lives Matter. Riots in Baltimore, the riots in Ferguson, Black Lives Matter. You know who Black Lives don't matter to? Blacks.
Yeah, right.
Because 93% of all Blacks that are killed by other Blacks. So who doesn't care about Black Lives? Barack Obama sure as hell doesn't. Eric Holder sure as hell doesn't. His new attorney general, this black woman, sure as hell doesn't. You know, I've said on a radio show with you before that the biggest slave owner in America is Barack Obama. Barack Obama owns more slaves than anybody in the plantations in the 1800s ever did, because he's keeping all these blacks on welfare, food stamps, in the projects, keeping them dependent on the massa in the White House, in Washington, D.C. He's the cracker. He's the one cracking his whip. Barack Obama doesn't give a damn about black lives, and he doesn't give a damn about anything like that. He's a slave owner, but what he does care about is wiping out white heritage, white customs, white culture, and white history, and he's on a vendetta right now. We have to ask ourselves, what's next to be blacklisted under his reign of terror? This is a dangerous, dangerous man in the White House, and the people that are pulling his strings, like George Soros and so forth. George Soros has hated white Europeans since he slithered out of the womb. He's always had a vendetta. He wants to destroy the European currency. He wants to destroy America's dollar. This is the guy, him and Zbigniew Brzezinski, that put Barack Obama in office. That's two other things I forgot, was the links from Obama to Brzezinski and to Soros. Coupled with everything else I mentioned, how could anybody not have seen the danger this guy presented to us? I'll say it again. I've said it on previous shows. Any white person that voted for Barack Obama is like a cow walking into a slaughterhouse. We're the ones who designed our own demise, and I can't comprehend today, and I can't comprehend in 2008 how anybody could have fallen for this trick that was pulled on them. It's just complete and utter mind control of hope and change. And, you know, I'm not the brightest person in the world. I simply just connected all the dots. That's all I did.
None of us are the brightest people in the world, but to be able to do that, I think, is huge, because I couldn't do it. I wasn't able to do it. You did it, and I don't know anybody else who did it, the way that you have been warning about it, the way you've been writing about it, the way you've been speaking about it. But I think even more frightening than Obama, to me anyway, is how this is rolling out now, and there really isn't anybody or any group that's coming up and saying, whoa, wait a second here. This is dangerous. There's a slippery slope here. You go from the Confederate flag, you're going to go, like you mentioned, to the Jefferson Memorial. They already are going to the U.S. flag. They're burning the U.S. flag. They did burn it in Denver, Colorado, protests against state-sponsored racism. They're burning the American flag in a rally against white supremacy. No, wait a second. You know, if the people who had control over the flying of the Confederate flag, if those people rolled over so quickly, and you know, Walmart rolled over, Amazon rolled over, as you said, Warner Brothers rolled over for the Dukes of Hazzard, the little car that has the Confederate flag on top of it, they rolled over pretty much overnight. everybody rolled over and they said, nope, nope, no more Confederate flag. You know, everybody agreed. That was it. It was done. There's been no investigation about these nine people who were allegedly murdered by this guy who supposedly drove 200 miles to this church instead of just going to a local church near him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But how could it be that all of these people, and I understand the whole thing about Jews run the media. I know that they do. You know, I know the names. I've seen it. I've studied it. I understand about interlocking directorates, that I'm the chairman and CEO of Warner Brothers, and I sit on the board of directors of Viacom and vice versa. So they're all interlocking and they're not going to hurt each other. I get that. But how could it be that literally overnight they all rolled over and just said, screw the Confederate flag. It doesn't mean anything to us. Get it out of our stores. We're never going to sell it again. It's as bad as the swastika. How could it be that all of these entities rolled over and there's no Americans out there going, whoa, time out. Wait a second here. Let's think about this. We can't just do this in 2 seconds. This is a part of our history. Is this like a conspiracy?
Of course it is. And that's why, you know, even though I can't prove like I did with Sandy Hook or with the Boston bombing that there were so many unanswered anomalies that don't add up, all I know about this shooting down in Charleston, South Carolina is that isn't it convenient? Isn't every single element of this quote unquote shooting just way too pat for nobody to start connecting dots? You know, even the kid, the supposed shooter's middle name is Storm, you know, which goes back to white nationalist groups like Stormfront and so forth. You know, very conveniently, there's a picture of him holding the Confederate flag or having the Confederate license plate, you know, wearing the apartheid South African jacket and on and on and on that, you know, he goes to South Carolina, one of the most conservative states in the Union, which flies the Confederate flag and on and on that this was made number one story in the country. And David is a conspiracy, and this was all pre-planned. This was arranged. You know, they found the perfect patsy. They found the pictures. They put out this alleged manifesto, which I don't think for a second this kid wrote, and on and on and on. So what's the next false flag event going to be? A shooter who's a 9/11 truther. And as soon as that happens, boom, in a snap of a finger. Yeah, I mean, at what point are all 9/11 books not only going to be removed from Amazon and other online venues, but also decreed to be illegal in this country? Are there going to be 9/11 denial laws? How about like in Europe? Are there going to be Holocaust denial laws where someone like David Irving, who is imprisoned for 17 or 19 months in Europe for questioning the Holocaust, is it going to be someone like me that's imprisoned for writing these books or the Barnes Review for publishing this type of material? This isn't a slippery slope. This is like a slippery cliff that we're plummeting over.
You're right. It's not funny. This is the problem, exactly what you said. Well, they don't want to stop whoever they are, whoever's calling the shots, who's ever deciding these things. We kind of have a grip on who these people are.
I know who it is, Dave. It's the same exact that put Barack Obama in office. You were talking about how the media and everything lined up perfectly as soon as this happened. This doesn't happen by accident. The same people behind this plot right now are the same exact people that arranged the media, that didn't investigate Barack Obama's past, blah, blah, blah. These are the same people that put him in office that are now behind this agenda, this stratagem to erase American white history. So it's not a mystery. And one thing that's not a conspiracy is when Barack Obama came out and said, I'm going to fundamentally transform America. He wasn't hiding anything. He wasn't being subversive about it. He was right out in the open. He told everybody. It was a revelation of the method. He let us know what he intended to do, and he's doing it now. No conspiracy whatsoever. Right out in the open.
Wow. Well, I guess now here's the problem. Besides, it doesn't seem like anybody out there gives a damn about what's happening, or they don't comprehend it, or they cannot. Maybe it is what I was thinking initially. You were able to see through this all those years ago. I know a lot of people would not have been able to put together what you did to extrapolate the way that you did. But now then, it's happening so fast that I'm sure that there aren't very many people out there who can identify this slippery cliff that we're going over. And that's the problem. We're going over it. I don't think there's any going back. I think that they're going to allow the American flag to be altered. I think that the Jefferson Memorial is nothing for them to take down. They're already defacing the Confederate monuments with Black Lives Matter. You know, of course, white lives don't matter. I mean, the federal government is sending $29 million to these nine black families to help them cope What about the hundreds of thousands of innocent whites that have been brutally murdered and tortured by blacks? Did they get any money?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right. It's a joke. The whole thing's a joke. But here's the problem. What can we do about it?
Right now, the die has been cast. Yeah, let's be honest about it, that we could have done something in 2008, 2012. We didn't. Barack Obama is not going to be impeached. We know that he has the entire leftist media on his side to keep pushing this agenda. Unless there's more shows and more interviews like this, which, you know, other than the few courageous outlets that do this, we're the lone voice in the wilderness. We're the ones that are speaking out, and we keep speaking out. We keep putting articles in the newspaper. You put more articles on the website. We're doing our job, Dave. We're doing our job. And when it comes to the rest of the country, the rest of the world, we can't compel them. We can't force them. We're doing what we can do right now. And if somebody tunes in, 1 out of 100 people and gets it, well, God bless them. But beyond that, we got a hell of a battle in front of us. And, you know, there's a term for things moving so quickly. It's called the quickening. And it's moving so fast now that the momentum is there, and they know the momentum is there. And like I said, these people behind Obama feel a desperation because he only has 1.5 years left, that they have to strike now while the iron is still hot, get everything they can. So this is going to be a hell of 1.5 years that we have in front of us. If people read George Orwell's 1984 and found it to be a compelling novel, but thought, oh, you know, that's just some futuristic dystopia, well, they better think twice about it or reread that book, because it's not a fiction novel. It's a real life guidebook for what is going to happen and is happening right now. So, you know, you talked about me being prophetic about this. Look at George Orwell. He makes me look like child's play, you know, compared to predicting the future.
No, I understand. And, you know, that was written, like you said, I think 1948, right, and then 84 in reverse. It was written in 1948, so we're talking about almost 70 years ago. Sure, of course, that's pretty amazing. I would say the same thing about E.M. Forster's The Machine Stops. But for you to give a short-term prediction is pretty amazing. That's probably even more difficult to make, a short-term prediction versus a long-term prediction. So you could look at it that way. So being able to do that, it's pretty amazing, I think, because I like to think that I can predict things and I'm pretty good at it. And I think it's just much more a matter of listening than talking, you know, watching what's going on around you. I think people who do that, and you know that saying, God gave you 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. You know, if you could do that, then I think that you could do pretty well at predicting what's going to happen if you understand human psychology and human nature, which obviously you do. You're talking about George Orwell's 1984. Yeah, people could pick that book up and read it or reread it and glean a bunch of stuff from it and hopefully wake up. What about Powder Keg? I mean, does it make sense for them to read Powder Keg? Would that help them in some way?
The best comment I heard in the last couple of days about that book was Deanna Spingola, who does a radio show on RBN, said a while back that my book, The Holocaust Hoax Exposed, was the finest book on the Holocaust because it's so easy to read for the layman. It's short, 180 pages or so, and it's accessible. Well, the same thing applies to America's Racial Powder Keg. I think it's only 140, 150 pages. All the articles are sometimes only 500, 600, 400 words written by great writers from American Free Press. And it's the only way, I think, to truly understand this situation where you can sit down and read this book, Dave, in one night, one evening, and your entire perspective on race in America will change. And I guarantee, I mean, I'd give money back guarantees that anybody that reads this book and isn't changed in their view of race, call and get your money back, because it's a guarantee that you'll never see this the same again. When it comes to Al Sharpton or the new Black Panthers or Barack Obama, the history of slavery, the L.A. riot, Nelson Mandela, those great articles of Pete Papaheraklis, it's all there. Even what the founding fathers and Abraham Lincoln said about race, it's all right there. And in one night, you can snap a finger like turning on a light bulb.
What's really impressive about the book, Victor, America's Racial Powder Keg, is that, and I know because I'm involved in the book sales and of American Free Press, is that there are a bunch of people across the country not just buying the book individually, but they're buying the book in cases.
Well, as a matter of fact, one of the gentlemen that I interviewed for an article that's coming in American Free Press next week was selling America's Racial Powder Keg at a flea market about 45 minutes away from where this supposed church shooting took place. So even down in South Carolina, this guy was selling them by the case down, or, you know, he bought a case and was selling them down there. So you're correct.
It's a powerful book.
I think the people that should most read it, the ones who would be the most opposed to it, are liberals, especially white liberals, because they're the ones that are still carrying the water for people like Obama. And with all this mamby-pamby academic stuff, you know, equality, blah, 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 white liberals should read that book. And when they're done, they'll scratch their head and say, how the hell could I have voted for Obama? How the hell could I have betrayed my country and my people by doing this to us? Look at what we've done to this country. You know me, Dave, long enough. I don't think I've uttered one good word ever about Obama, because the book that I originally wrote, which AFP published as Frontman, when I originally published it, it was an 8.5 by 11 chapbook, and it was called Barack Obama, Devil. And the whole front cover was this huge satanic-looking picture of Obama with these yellow reptilian eyes and these horns coming out of the top of his head. And I knew it right then. I had him pegged right there. This guy's a devil. His playground right now is America. He's just rampaging through it and doing what he can by the time his second term is done.
And it's time for people to wake up. And if you think that them reading Racial Powder Keg will help them, like, of course, your other books. I mean, I had a great time reading The Holocaust Hoax Exposed. I mean, that interview that we did is a very popular one, and it's hilarious. And, of course, some news just came out about one of those jokers who wrote that book, and she wasn't even a Jew, that she was sued like 20-something million bucks or something. Was that the one who was supposedly crapping out the diamonds or something every night?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember that story.
What can we say?
And how about the woman that was raised by the wild wolves out in the wilderness?
Yeah. Funny, man. That's great. We've said it before. We'll say it again. We got to wake up. We got to do something. You got to help us and all the other people who care about this country get it back. Because if we don't move, if we don't do something, if we don't change the way we think, like Victor said, one night it would take to read this book. And it might change the way you think. It might allow you to see things a different way that might allow us to get America back the way that it was. Because in my estimation, from what we saw unfold over the past week, Victor, you're right, it's not a slippery slope, it's a slippery cliff. And the only way that we're going to return from that fall down the cliff is by doing something drastic. Otherwise, say goodbye not just to the Confederate flag, but say goodbye to the American flag. Say goodbye to just about everything.
Yeah, including the Constitution.
Absolutely right. A story just came out just today. Now, I don't know if you heard about this, but I didn't. About the National Park Service?
No, I don't believe so.
National Park Service tells U.S. gift shops to stop selling, quote-unquote, racist Confederate flags in the wake of last week's Charleston massacre. U.S. government agency recommends items containing flags stop being sold. These include replica flags, pins, and belt buckles, all currently on the shelves. So somebody, the political appointee who's in charge of the, and I don't know who that is, I don't know if you might know that, but the political appointee who's in charge of the United States National Park Service has ordered the gift shops to stop selling, and they called it racist, these things. Exactly what we're talking about, Victor, the slippery cliff. Here it is, folks. It has started, and it's not stopping. So when you have a political appointee in there, appointed by this communist Obama, who was put in there by George Soros predominantly, and this is all documented, of course, who literally has no background, there's still a $1 million reward around to anybody who could say that they were with him at Columbia. I wish that I would have went there, because I'm about the same age as this clown. You know, aren't you the same age as him, Victor?
I think he's 1 year older than me, if you can even believe his birthday.
Great point. Here it is. The Park Service is saying get rid of these racist symbols. Funny. They were fine for all these years. Now all of a sudden it's racist. Now we got to take it down. They can spray paint Black Lives Matter on a statue, on a monument, and nobody says anything about that. But we say one thing, and we're haters. That's the problem. Folks, pick up the book, America's Racial Powder Keg. There is a guarantee on it, of course. Maybe that'll be spelled out. After you read the book, if that book does not change the way you think, send an email, and I'll give you the email address. You buy the book, you read the book, send an email to webeditor, W-E-B-E-D-I-T-O-R, webeditor at AmericanFreePress.net, and you say in that subject line, say whatever you want in the email. Just tell them you want a refund. You read the book, and it didn't change the way that you looked at this issue.
How many of those emails you're going to get, Dave? Zero.
I know that already, because I know that there's the occasional, I'm trying to use a nice word, person who will abuse this. I know that because I've dealt with those type of people. You're going to get zero. But the point is, here it is, money back guarantee. Buy the book. Read it. If it doesn't change the way you think, send an email to webeditor@americanfreepress.net and we'll give you your money back.
Putting our money where our mouths are.
That's right.
Yeah, when it comes to this latest news event you mentioned, just picture dominoes. And one after another after another after another keeps falling. And this is only the beginning. So I want to thank you, Dave, for having me on, for having the balls to talk about this subject. And you're one of the rarities in this field for doing so. And it's great to have this forum to talk about these kind of issues. So thank you once again.
Victor, thank you, my friend, and talk to you real soon.